anger, sin or sign? It's Tuesday. Been there series, week 2. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what He wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. James 1:19-20. Anger, frustration, irritation. We all feel it from time to time. Sometimes it just explodes at our kids, our spouse, our co-workers, and we wonder if there's something dark lurking inside us. Anger doesn't have to run or ruin your life. In fact, if you learn to manage anger correctly, it can give insight into areas of your life where you're living short of all God intends for you. The thing you probably want answered first is, why do I get so angry? The simple answer is, you get angry because you are not getting what you want. You have some hopes and dreams for yourself and your family, but all around you are threats to those dreams. When you get angry at something happening to you, it's always because of something happening inside you. Anger isn't a sin. It's just a sign. It's a sign that one of your hopes and dreams is being threatened. There are three specific hopes and dreams that we all have. We want 1. Security, physical, financial, emotionally. 2. Connection, relationships, feeling valued and accepted. 3. Control, feeling empowered to make choices and have options. We get angry when we feel one of those three is being threatened. But the good news is that God already provides all of those things and more with the gospel. When you start feeling that threat, your brain energy shifts away from your prefrontal cortex, the problem-solving part of your brain. At that point, all rational and reasonable thought basically shuts down. So we have to step away, take a deep breath, calm down, and get thinking straight again. That's what the Apostle James is talking about in today's verse. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Last but not least is your two prayers for the day. First, pray, God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it? Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. As Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You were one of those with Jesus of Nazareth." But Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said, and he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, "This man is definitely one of them." But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, "You must be one of them because you are a Galilean." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And he broke down and wept. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. Tangible proof that they are sending relief money to Jerusalem. They have been wanting to do this for a long time, and in fact it was a voluntary act of theirs to help. They were eager to do it, and the responsibility goes back to them. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.